Gardening with Gavin from Lee Rowan's Garden World.
And I know one thing's for sure, that he'd be enjoying the weather today. And here is Gav online for our gardening chat today. Hello, Gav.
Yes, hello. Well, there's certainly no sleeping lions here today.
Tell you what, it's a beautiful, beautiful day out there today, isn't it?
It is, and it's supposed to be stunning tomorrow as well. And it just shows spring is just around the corner.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that, that's for sure. Spring.
Yeah.
Love spring.
Absolutely. I've had four big deliveries in yesterday, another four today, and we're really starting to gear up. Basically, at the 1st of August, it's still very wintry. By the end of August, it's spring.
Absolutely. Now, we're talking about spring here, but also after spring, we have summer. And today, we're talking about preparing your veggie garden for the summer period.
Correct. Generally, through August is planting for your summer vegetables. So all those beautiful salad vegetables like cucumbers, tomatoes, lettuce, celery, all those fabulous things you have through summer. Now is the time, generally over this month, to plant them. Now, of course, a standard veggie garden really needs to be started about a fortnight before you plant those particular veggies to get it set up ready. For those who haven't got one or are looking at getting one or building one, I should say, a lovely full sun spot, a good depth of soil. Now, I'm talking there about 30 to 40 centimetres. So if you had an old ruler, about the depth of a ruler, if not slightly more, lots and lots of organic matter. In fact, the more organic matter you can get, which is why we like to give it a fortnight to settle after we've built it and built it up. You know, for those who've got an existing one, you want to add lots of things like organic soil, organic matter. There's a great bags called planting compost or 5-in-1 compost or even cow manure. Mix all that stuff in it over the next fortnight, get it all built up and have it ready for probably about the third week of the month onwards, ready to plant all those fabulous summer veggies. Now, a spot, as I said, full sun. Now, you want it out of the westerly winds in summer. Now, the reason why I say that is because on a 35-degree day in the middle of January, you want to make sure that those winds aren't going to burn the leaves that you then want to eat. So there's no point putting it in that sort of a spot. That's probably the most important thing I can think of. Now, whether you want to use a veggie pod, so to speak, which is one of these special veggie garden on a stand for people that don't want to bend over or you know, maybe, you know, they're very popular now for people in over 55's villages. You don't have to bend so much. If you happen to be in a chair, it makes it just at that height that you can still enjoy the garden and not feel as though you've been excluded, which is great. But any veggie garden that you want to do, it might even be in a big container. It could be like in one of these big, what we call a trough pot, these big meter long by 400 by 400 big troughs that you can get with some really good organic matter and grow some beautiful lettuce, tomatoes, all those sort of things in those. They're not a problem. The same principle applies for all of them. Now, the only other thing I would say is when you do plant your summer veggies, and we'll go through the list of those next week, make sure you block your veggies and not single rows. The reason for that is, and it's especially for now, is the fact of the lack of bees. Now, plants will pollinate better, especially if you're relying on the wind to pollinate the flowers. You block them. So you may do a 3x3 grid or something like that, or bigger if you want to plant a lot of them. I know with corn, you would never just put one single long row because, of course, the only way they would then pollinate if the wind happened to blow from one end on the other, and that you'd have to be pretty lucky. So always, always what I call block your veggies. So no matter how, even if it's only four, do it in a 4 grid. Don't do it in 4 in just a straight line.
Yeah.
It will make the world of difference. And as I said, it's especially applicable now because there's nowhere near enough bees to actually pollinate the flowers.
See, I think our listeners You know, they may not be thinking about this when they're preparing their veggie garden for summer, that the bees play, you know, they play a very important part too, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. And at the moment, we have hardly any. We're not going to have hardly any. It's not going to change in the near future. So you've got to think about that when you're planting them in the first place, to make sure you've got every possible chance, no matter which way that breeze or wind is blowing, that those flowers are going to get pollinated. Otherwise, you'll have a whole lot of beautiful, lovely stalks of corn or tomato plants with full of flower and get hardly any fruit. That is the biggest reason that you will get failure on your vegetables, especially the ones that rely on bees to pollinate the flowers. You know, things like, what am I talking about now? Lettuce and celery and foliage things like spinach. Of course, you don't have to worry about those sort of things. But when you've got things like cucumbers or tomatoes or, as I said, corn, things that actually flower and then the flowers turn into the fruit, then you've got an issue. So please do that. Think about that when you're planting them. The other thing you can do to really help them get going is sea-sole them. Now, sea-soles are fabulous. It's not a fertilizer. A lot of people think it's a fertilizer. It's actually a tonic. It's something like you would give a person that's been unwell for quite a while to get them built back up again, to get their immune system back up. That's what sea-sole is. Very good for sick plants, but especially good for when you're transplanting, because no matter how old a plant is, when you're taking it from a pot to the garden or even a small pot to a larger pot, they will always get transplanting shock. And the best way to get around that is, of course, sea salt. On top of that, it strengthens your young plants. Now, often when these things come out of little punnets, they're quite little spindly, weedy things, and you need to get them built up as strong as possible so they can put up with adverse weather. Now, whether that be a storm coming through, whether that be a windy day, we need to get those little stems nice and solid so that they just don't weaken and fall over. So very, very important. Once you've done that, of course, fortnightly watering with a liquid fertilizer, and that will keep them green and lush and strong. Something like my favorite C-Max Power Feed 5-in-1 do a fabulous liquid that you can just put a couple of capfuls into a watering can, water that over them every fortnight. As I said, green, lush, health plants.
Okay, just getting back to the sea salt you're talking about there. See, I was under the impression, and I think a lot of people probably as well were under the impression, that sea salt was a fertilizer, but as you say, no, it's actually not a fertilizer, it's a tonic.
It's a tonic.
Yeah.
It's a tonic to improve the soil, to encourage microbes and wormies and things like that. It's to encourage all those to make the ground healthy, thus then making your plants healthy. As I said, it also strengthens young plants, and it will also get you over that transplanting shock. It really is a tonic. It's not a fertilizer. The same company makes a product called Power Feed. Now, that is their fertilizer. It's in a green bottle, denoting that you put it over the foliage as a fertilizer, whereas sea salt will always be in a brown bottle, denoting the fact that you put it in the soil to improve the soil, thus making your plant healthier.
There's a method in their madness, isn't there, with the green and as you say, the brown containers there.
Well, you just wouldn't know that. You would think that they just pick those colours because they like them.
Yeah, well, that's right, yes.
There is a reason behind it.
Well, that's it. There you go. So for those who may have not realised that, I now realise the reasons why they have those different colours. Now, the thing that I've taken out of our chat today is, when it comes to getting things ready for the summer veggie garden, preparation sounds like it's king to me.
Oh, absolutely. The amount of people that come in here and they buy the soil and they buy the plants and then they go home and do the whole thing in one go, it's just not the right way to do it. It will probably work on most occasions, but if you want to do it properly, get it prepared first. Same as any job, same as painting the inside of a house. You've got to get all that preparation done for a better, longer result. As I said, you might get away with it, but all these organic products are designed to mulch down, and they do definitely settle for a week or two after you do it. I always tell people when they're doing a rose garden, always mound it. If you do it flat, a fortnight after that, you've got depressions in the centre where you'll get puddles of water. And as we know with roses, the last thing you want underneath them is puddles of water. So always, and the same with your veggie garden, always mound it slightly so that when it settles flat and not with a depression in the centre. It is very, very important, and it makes a huge difference.
Yes, I remember your advice last year you were saying about the roses, and one thing that always sticks in my mind, the thing you said that is right in my mind and has stayed there since, is roses do not like wet feet. I still remember that.
No, they definitely don't, and they certainly don't like puddles of water underneath them either.
Fair enough. Okay. Now, I guess if we have any more questions, we can always drop on down to Lee Rowan's down there at Warners Bay when you're there, of course.
Most certainly.
Which are the days that you're not there?
Friday and Saturday.
Okay, so Sunday through to Thursday.
Every good nurseryman needs a couple of days off to recover.
Absolutely, yeah. So you can catch Gav down there Sunday through to Thursday if you have any questions. Anything you'd like to further ask what Gav was talking about, getting your garden prepared for the summer as far as your veggies are concerned. I'm sure that if you've got some time, we can have our listeners come down and you might be able to answer some of those questions.
Oh, absolutely. And as of next week and the week after, all these fabulous summer veggies, tomatoes, chilies, strawberries, capsicums will all start to come into the store. And, of course, next week I'll have a full list of all the ones that you'll be able to get your hands on for this summer.
Sounds good. Now, Lee Rowan's Garden World down there at Warners Bay, where can we find you?
We are bottom of Hillsborough Road, 381, down at the Warners Bay end. Hillsborough Road runs all the way from the bypass right down to Warners Bay. We're right down the Warners Bay. If you come down the hill, we're on the right-hand side. Big building, lovely cafe, lots of lovely plants. We've also got a fantastic website, www.leerowans.com, and it will tell you all the information you need to know.
Sounds good. Well, enjoy the rest of the sunshine today, and we look forward to catching up same time next week.
Yeah, so will I.
Thanks, Gav.